Last week we talked about Matthew chapter 5. We talked about we talked about discipleship and how the disciples, when Jesus went and he went up the mountain a little ways, he went away from the crowds. He wanted to get away from the crowds a little bit, so he climbed a little further up the mountain. We talked about that last week and how the disciples, the crowds stayed back, but the disciples went up the mountain with him. And, you know, that's what we have to be, and that's what we talked about last week. We have to be willing to climb up the mountain a little bit. We have to be willing to follow him up the mountain and sit at his feet and learn. And the blesseds here are, the Beatitudes or whatever. The blessed is the poor in spirit. And we just got through a couple of them last week. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will... You know, that's what we... You know, I mourn for people when they lose somebody. You know, I mourn for the lost in this community. You know, it saddens me to see people that are lost and without Jesus because I know what the ending result's going to be. And that hurts me. It really does, because I mourn for those people because I know that they're dead. They're dead in their sin. And unless they meet Jesus, there's nothing that's going to help them at the end. There's nothing. It's too late. You know, when we talked in our Bible study on Friday night, how, you know, sometimes I always think maybe I was born 100 years too late. I love the old cowboy stuff. I always loved being outdoors. I always loved that kind of stuff, you know. This world today is too complex for me. It seems like I don't fit in. But that's not where God put me. God put me here. God chose the time that I was born. God chose the time, He'll choose the time that I die. He put me here. He put you here for your time. And we are supposed to use that time in service to Him. You know, when I come to the reality that when I got saved, you know, I can still remember. I got my spot over there. You know, that's what's so, man, I love looking down here because it's always a constant reminder to me, because I could come right over here and I can remember the day that I knelt right here, you know. And I know there's many others, and I've heard many others. Last night I heard somebody else give their testimony, and they said, yeah, I remember the day right here. When I got saved, right here, when the windows of heaven opened up. I remember that day. Isn't it? And I do. I never want to forget that day. But see, God put me here for this reason, is to serve Him in any way that He leads and guides me, right? Now, what's that have to do with the blessings? You know, I want to get back to this because I felt like I needed to continue on. It just wasn't finished. What I wanted to say last week. And we ended with being meek. Blessed are the meek. And that's in verse 5 of chapter 5. It says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Well, what does meek mean? Meek means quiet and gentle, easy, imposed, patient, long-suffering, forbearing. That's what it means. And he says, you got to be meek. Well, was Jesus meek? Jesus was meek, wasn't he? He stood strong against the Pharisees. He stood up, you know, and he didn't back down, but yet he showed humility. He showed meekness. You know, whenever he was a child, when he was 12, his parents had, you remember the story about when his parents lost him? You know, and he was found in the synagogue, and he was talking with the rabbis and stuff, and they couldn't believe that this little guy could, they were astounded by what he knew. But yet he was God. You know, he was trapped in this little 12-year-old body, but yet he was God. But what did he do when his parents found him? He said, well, you know, I'm going about my father's business. So he's a little bit snippy right there at first, but yet what did he do? He went back and was subject to them until his ministry came about, which was, he was 30 years old. But what I'm saying is he was meek then. He humbled himself to his parents. Did he have to? Not necessarily, but he did. Well, he left an example of meekness, of humility. You know, so when it says, blessed are the meek, where does that put you? Are you always humble in situations? Sometimes we get into some pretty bad, you know, it talks about long suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to think about suffering. And especially the word before that, long suffering. You know, but there are people who deal with long suffering. You know, and we have situations sometimes in our life that sometimes are short, but sometimes they're long. And it seems like it's never going to end. But through all that, can we be meek? Can we be meek? And at the end, it kind of ties all this up, and we're going to get there. So, you know, this meekness, meekness means teachable. Teachable under suffering. So there's always a lesson to learn, is what that tells me. When this word meek is used, meekness is used, it means there's always a lesson to be learned in everything that happens to us. And sometimes we don't understand why. What am I getting out of this? I remember there was a movie that, you know, I probably wouldn't ever watch it again, but I remember when I was younger, there was a movie that this guy was in, and you know, he's Chris Farley. He's dead. He was a drug addict. He was, you know, he needed Jesus in his life, but he was a comic, you know. But anyway, this movie is called Black Sheep. And, you know, and I don't know, forgive me, but I did watch it one time. Anyway, he's on this mountain, and he's trying to help his brother out. He's trying to do good. He really is. The movie's about him trying to do the right thing. So he's up on this mountain, and he's trying to get to his brother that's down in the mountain, you know, and he's running. And he stumbles, and he falls. And then they show him going off the side of the mountain, you know, as a comic. I mean, he's going end over end, flipping and jumping and beating into trees, which would kill anybody. So when he gets to the bottom, he jumps up real quick, and he looks up, and he says, "What was that for?" You know, he's trying to do something good. And then he stumbles and he falls, and he falls all the way down this. And then he gets up and he says, "What in the world was that for? What was that for?" I mean, I've been there. Have you? Have you had something like that? And you go through this and you look up and you say, "What in the world was that for? Why did I need to endure that? Why did I need that today?" You know, sometimes we come across people in our life, and you're like, after you're done with the conversation, you walk away and you kind of, I didn't need that today. I was in it, you know, wow. That happens, right? Meekness. Can we show meekness and humility in those times? That's tough, isn't it? Jesus says that's important. It says, blessed are you that can do that. Blessed are you. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man, there's so much in this one. I could probably preach the rest of the morning on just this part. Because what is righteousness? Righteousness is the quality of being morally right. It's innocence. It's goodness, it's upright, it's decent. Most importantly, it's justified. It's justified, and we're going to get to that. But, you know, being hungry. I'll tell you what, I know what that's like a little bit. Not like some. I've never been so hungry. I've been blessed. You know, most of us are blessed in this nation. We don't really worry about going hungry. We've been hungry. We think we've been hungry, but we've never really been hungry. We've never been hungry for days and days without food because we didn't know. We didn't have it. Now I've talked to some, and they know what that means. Some people that lived in the Great Depression knew what that was like. There's kids today that go without meals. They know what hunger is because they don't have meals. Nobody there to fix it for them. There's food available, but there's nobody there to fix it for them. They know what hunger is. But when I'm talking about myself, I mean, you know, even through this sickness, I have this restricted diet. You know, and I look at all these foods, just like when we have a potluck or a little dinner, it seems like that's what we can't meet together. Our Friday night Bible studies, you know, we talked about that, how, you know, we can't meet without eating. You got to have food. There's got to be something. Food's always the center, it seems like, of everything. And I go up there and I look at all this and I think, okay, let me look at all this food I can't eat. And I've always been one that could eat whatever I want, however much I want. I wouldn't ever gain a pound. I'm just this little skinny guy that could always eat what I wanted to. Never bothered me. Never had sugar issues. Never had none of that. But now, you know, on this diet, it seems like now I look at all this stuff and I can't eat that. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. I shouldn't eat this, but man, I am hungry for that. I want that. I haven't had pizza in forever. I did last night. I shouldn't have probably, but I ate a little piece of pizza. But, you know, and then I'm not even talking about the desserts when we look at the pies. And you think, man, you ever been so hungry for something that the craving was just so great that you just couldn't stand it? And I mean, you just about hurt somebody to get it. You're laughing, but I think you've been there. But have you ever been that hungry for God? You ever been that hungry for God? I was when I found Him, when I got saved. I was hungry for Him. I needed Him. I desired Him. And even though all this other stuff I could have desired, I could look at this and even, you know, a lot of Christians come to the table, or a lot of people come to the table and they look at all this stuff that's so desirable. And their hunger is for that. But it makes you sick when you eat it. But you continue to eat it. Understand what I'm saying? But when you hunger for God, you eat stuff that doesn't make you sick. I don't know if that come out just exactly like I wanted it to, but you know, righteousness, when we hunger for God, you know, it's the only way that we can be righteous. The only way that you can be righteous is when the Holy Spirit, when Jesus comes into you. He said the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ, and the only way that you can be righteous is through the justification. Righteous means justified, through the justification of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, He justifies you. He makes you righteous. And when you hunger and thirst for Him, then you become righteous. But not unless you have Him. You cannot be righteous without Him. I cannot be righteous without Him. It has to be Him, and through Him is our righteousness. And it's the quality of being morally right. There was only one person that was perfect on this earth, and that was Jesus. There was only one person who was morally right, and that was Him. And the only way that we have a chance of being morally right is to be in Him, or have Him living in us, to be in Christ. Because through Him, we gain righteousness. Amen? Then we become innocent. Innocent of what? Innocent of our sins committed. I love that. Are you hungry for Him this morning? Amen. I have to be hungry for Him every day because I want to be filled with His righteousness and His love. Because I know if I'm not, then I'm not righteous. I'll mess up. I'll do something wrong. And sometimes we do anyway. But when you've got Him living in you, all that gets taken care of. That's what the Scripture says. As long as you stay in Him, I will be in you. Amen?
Amen.
Merciful. Blessed. what's it say? Verse 6. I want to say this. I want to end this right here with verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's what I want to say. That's what I was talking about. They will be filled. You will be filled if you hunger for Him. Not might be. Not maybe. That's what I wanted to say. You will be filled. Will be. That's a promise. That's something you can take out and tell somebody. Listen, if you'll just serve God, if you'll just be hungry for Him a little bit, if you'll just understand, just a little bit, He will fill you. He will. See, blessed are the merciful. Verse 7. For they will be shown mercy. Merciful. Showing forgiveness, compassion, grace, tenderheartedness, softheartedness, kind. All those things is who Jesus was. But He also says we need to be merciful as well. You remember the story about the 10 leopards we talked about? And they shouted out when they saw Him, He said, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Well, He asked Jesus, and Jesus healed them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And then only the one came back. Only one of them came back and humbled himself before Him and thanked Him and praised Him, you know, for what He had done. And you know, I wonder about that. 1 out of 10, that's not very good, is it? 1 out of 10? 1 out of 10. That's not very good. Who humbled themselves before God. I would hope that those statistics would be a little better than that. You know, it says there'd be two in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two at the millstone, one will be taken, one will be left. I always wondered about that. Two on the rooftop, one will be taken, one will be left. That's 50-50 odds right there. And that was directed towards the church. I always wonder about that. I thought, that's not very good odds either. It's better than 1 out of 10. But 50-50? Can you imagine if 50% of the people in the church will not go to heaven? That's heartbreaking, isn't it, to think. I don't want to think that. I want to think that everybody gets to go to heaven, but I know that's not true. That's not true. The ones that get to go to heaven are the ones that are merciful, the ones that are meek, the ones that are pure at heart, the ones that seek God, the ones that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones that will see God. And that has to be our challenge to ourselves as a personal relationship. It's not something that I get saved because the guy's next to me is more righteous than I am and he's going to take me with him. If I hang on tight to him, it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way because it's that personal relationship that we have to have and we have to challenge ourselves. We have to hold ourselves accountable every day. My wife will not take me to heaven with her. And I won't be able to take her to heaven with me. It has to be that individual. The same with my kids. I can't take my kids by the hand and take them to heaven with me. If I go, I'm going. Let me say that again. Not if I go, I'm going. Let's get that clear. I'm going to do everything I can to make it. But that's the way we have to be. I have to do everything I can that I can make it. And on the way, as I'm trying to do everything I can to make it, I have to witness to this guy and say, hey, I want you to do everything you can to make it. Because I want to see you in heaven as well. Amen. That's why we mourn for people that are lost. And we try to live by this standard is what we're looking at. It's a standard that we should live by. But you know what? You can try to live by these standards all you want, but there's a few of them you might accomplish. You can force yourself to be meek, because there's times where I force myself not to slap somebody. Hey, let's be honest. Let's be honest. I force myself not to do that, so I force myself to be meek. But until I got saved, I didn't understand what true meekness was. I didn't understand what it meant when somebody gets in your face and you may get mad for a second, but then you're like, okay, God loves you, and God's going to take care of this. And you can walk away. Righteousness, you're not going to work yourself into. That only comes from God. That only comes from God. You can do all the work you want, but it ain't going to make you righteous. It's going to make you religious, but it's not going to make you righteous. Pharisees had all the religion they wanted, but they weren't righteous. They weren't very merciful either. The thing about mercy is it's an exercise. It's showing the exercise of being merciful. That's part of the definition. It's an exercise. So there is some works involved in that. We have to show mercy on people. Jesus showed His mercy, the Scripture says. He showed mercy towards people. That's an exercise. We have to exercise our faith. Just like doctors practice their medicine. They're not really a doctor if they don't do doctor stuff, right? I always wondered about that. I never wanted a doctor to practice on me. I always hoped that he knew what he was doing before he got started, right? They call it a practice. But mercy. Be merciful. Because they will be shown mercy. They will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, verse 8, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, one of the things Nazarene Church stands on is purity of heart. They talk about that quite a bit in our views. And what's all that mean? The sanctification of your heart, the purity of your heart. What does pure mean? What does all that mean? It means unmixed. It means uncontaminated, clean, sparkling, unpolluted, untainted is what that means. That's what pure means. How can we achieve that? Being the filthy sinner that we were. You know, I remember, you know, we were all born sinners. We were all born tainted. We were all born unpure. But how do we become pure? How do we do that? It's like righteousness. There's only one way that you can be pure. And that's accepting Jesus Christ into your life. And when the blood of Christ, whenever you accept Christ into your life, His blood purifies you. Amen? Amen. He purified me. He wiped it away. He cleansed it away. I'm washed. Remember the song, I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am washed pure now. I am washed white. That's the only way we can become pure. We are cleansed. We are clean. And that, it says right here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen?
Amen.
You want to see Him this morning? You want to see God? Let Him purify your heart. Let Him purify your heart. Let Him cleanse you. It's just sparkling. Unpolluted. I like that, sparkling. I don't know if I sparkle or not. But I know one thing, Jesus has cleansed me. I want to stay there. Man, I want to stay focused on Him. I want to stay in His love. I want to stay there. I want to see Him. You know, this is to me, it's, I want to say this is not a game. You know, this is reality. We have a choice to make when we're here, and we're given the ability to make that choice. We have that freedom here. But there's going to come a time where that choice we won't have any longer. Somebody else will make that choice for us. I made that choice at one And I make that choice every day. As Paul said, I die daily. Since 1993, I die daily. That's a lot of dying. That's a lot of dying. But I have to die every day. I have to give it up to Him. I have to just, I need Him. It's just like when we talked about the first blessed, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit. I have to humble myself before God, my spirit. I have to humble before Him, and I have to say, I need You every day because I am so poor, I can't do anything without You. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing I can do without You. Amen. I want to get on and finish up here. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. Peacemakers, a person who brings... I like doing definitions, right? I hope you guys do. I do, because I want to be accurate in what I'm talking about. Because a person who brings about peace, especially by reconciling adversities. It says it's a middleman, a negotiator, a go-between. Blessed are you that can do that. You know, we have a lot of issues in life sometimes. You know those people, there's always somebody, whether it's in the family, in the church, wherever it's at, there's always somebody that's the peacemaker. There's always somebody that's like, oh, okay, let's get through this, it's okay. You know, there's always those people that do that. He says we need to be that way. All of us need to be that way. We need to be the peacemakers. Sometimes one of the definitions for that is to be an umpire or a referee. That means that's when the situation's really getting bad. Okay? Line them up, corner to corner, okay. I don't know about that, but you have to be the go-between. We want peace. Nobody wants not peace, right? We want peace. I want peace in my life. I want to go home and enjoy this afternoon. I want peace this afternoon. Who else wants to go home, kick back in a recliner? Nobody? John's got his hand up. He's like, I'm for that. But every day of my life, I want peace, right? I don't want problems in my life. I don't want to deal with situations in life, but sometimes, a lot of times, we do. We deal with stuff in our life, and sometimes we need that person that's the peacemaker. Each and every one of us need to be that person, or we need that person in our life. Sometimes when God looks at us, when the people outside the church, they look at the church. They look at the people in the church. And they watch the people in the church. And they watch what they do. And they see, if those people can't keep the peace, why don't I want to be a part of that? Because I got plenty of that out here. And I got to say this, I'm going to quote Kathy Papa because she said something to me that really touched me. And she's right. She said, we were on the drive from Cape home, and she said, Randy, she said, what Christians need to do today is start being Christians. And I said, wow, Kathy. You're right. She's right. What Christians need to do today is be Christians. They need to be who they say they are. Inside the church, outside the church, wherever they're at, they need to be who they say they are. We need to be the church. We need to do what we believe, what we say we believe. If we say that we're If people outside the church, and you tell them, listen, you need to be meek, and you need to be righteous, and you need to be merciful, and you need to do all this, then we have to be that. We need to show that. We have to be that. She's exactly right. Man, that just blessed me yesterday. It really did. But it also holds me accountable. Because I'm as accountable more so than anybody. Because if I preach it, I have to live it. Really, I need to live it. I need to be living it, acting it, talking it. If I'm going to talk it, I need to live it, right? Because it destroys my witness if I don't. People are going to say, that guy's a hypocrite. I don't believe a word he says. He's not telling me the truth. That's what people think. My point, I've really been preaching, you know, I preach a lot about discipleship. I preach a lot about unity. I preach a lot about the church and how the early church was and how the church should be according to the scriptures. And Kathy's exactly right. We have to start becoming the church again, or be the church. I'm not saying again. We can look back. I'm not talking about looking back. We've got to quit looking back in the past and thinking about, well, what we should have done or what we could have done or what we didn't do or all that stuff. There doesn't matter anymore because it's the past. We can't change it. What we have to look at is the future and say, today I am going to be the best representation of the church that I can be. Today, right now, and from this day on, that's who I'm going to be. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved my soul. He's made me pure. He's made me righteous. And if I live this way, I'm going to heaven. And if I don't live this way, I'm being a hypocrite. And I cannot be that person. Amen? The problem we have today is people don't like to hear this type of message. They want to think that everybody's going to heaven and everything's okay and we can have the big show, we can play the flashing lights, and we can do all these things and it's going to be okay and God's grace is going to cover everything because it's already done. And the reality is it's not that way. If we don't live like he says, that's the reality. It's harsh reality, but it's a fact. I can't preach around the truth. And I don't want anyone to not go to heaven. He said, blessed are you. Let's go down to verse 10. Blessed are you, verse 10. It said, blessed are you who are persecuted because of righteousness. There's people out there that just, they don't want what we have. They don't want it. They don't want to hear this type of message is what I'm saying. They don't want to hear this type of message because they want to think that everything is okay. Let me tell you, you post the wrong thing on Facebook and see what happens. You'll see some unrighteous stuff. You say something negative about somebody's lifestyle. Or you don't even have to say that. You can say, well, God loves you anyway. Let me tell you something. You're going to get some feedback. Because there's some people that just think that everybody's going to heaven. They can live like they want, but you know, we know that that's just not reality. And I hate to preach any negative at all. I don't want to do that because I want everybody to be encouraged. I want everybody to leave here all happy. I really do. I want everybody to be happy. You know, that's really what I like. I want you to come back. I want you to bring somebody with you. Amen. You want to bring somebody with you? Amen? If each and every one of us brought somebody with us, where would we be?
Here.
We'd be here. That's right, Teddy. That's awesome. That's awesome. See, now everybody can leave happy. I love it. I love it. Holds me more accountable. I got to watch what I say, don't I? No. I love you, Teddy. I really do. I do. The truth is the truth. But you know what? We get persecuted at times. And if you don't think you do, you will get persecuted for your faith. It happens in different ways today, but I see it more and more and more and more. This nation is going the direction of where, you know, and I don't want to get into preaching politics. I've already taken up too much time. But let me tell you, this world is moving in a direction that the Scripture, it's prophesied in the Scripture that it will happen this way, but we're moving in a direction today that it's going to get worse and worse all the time, and the church is going to see more persecution all the time, and we see it every day. You just turn the news on and you can see it. We are being persecuted. And we have to stand strong in what we believe, and we have to be humble, but yet we have to stand strong. And we've been talking about on Friday nights at our Bible study about Daniel and how he stood strong in his faith, but he was also very humble in how he did it. And so was Jesus. Jesus stood strong, but yet he was humble. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you because God lives within you. You're going to get persecuted. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. I want to tell you, I heard something the other day, and I don't want to say who it was, but it was on Channel 3, and it comes on at 10 o'clock, or 10:30. And this individual made a comment. He said something about that a certain group of people, 49% of the people, voted for a certain person, and they said because they believe that God chose him to be that person. And he said, and those idiots are the ones, this is his words, those idiots are the ones that will probably try to decide the next election. Those idiots. That's what he said. And I said, wow. Here's a guy. That's persecution right there. If you don't think it's happening, it happens. All you have to do is listen. That amazed me really in a lot of ways, but it just, everybody laughs and carries on. That those idiots is what he said. There's people that believe that, folks. There's people that believe that. I just want to leave you with that. Where's your heart this morning? I tell you, if you don't have a close relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, just humble yourself before Him. Just die out to Him. We have to die every day. Just humble yourself to Him and understand that only through Him can we be made righteous. Only through Him can true purity come. Only through Him can we show true mercy to others. Only through Him. And only through Him will we have the strength to stand and take the persecution that's going to be hurled at us. And that's a fact. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, Lord. I hope I've spoken it clearly and exactly like You wanted me to speak it this morning. Lord, and I pray again for encouragement. I pray that Your Holy Spirit just take complete control of me and take complete control of this church and each and every person that's here. Fill us with Your love and Your righteousness, Lord, to overflowing. Purify our hearts so that we may live strong for You. So that when we leave these doors, we're not leaving You here. We're taking You everywhere we go, and we're a good example to this dying, lost world. Lord, equip us with what we need to serve You greater. In Jesus' name I pray, bring us back safely tonight. Amen.